Welcome everyone to podcast number 27. We're going to talk today about expectations, especially around Christmas, because we're just a couple weeks away from Christmas. And I'm sitting here at a square table surrounded by a whole bunch of different guests. So there's myself, I'm Thalia, I'm one of the pastors here. I've got Crystal, our regular co-leader with me.
Yeah, hello.
And now we have three young women who are newlyweds. And so let me introduce them, just their names, and then they'll tell you something about themselves. Okay, I'm going to start with the longest oldest newlywed, Jasmine.
Hi, I'm Jasmine. I'm an educational assistant at Abbotsford Christian School. I've been married for 3.5 years, and I'm married to Andrew Gulovich.
And he's our director of high school youth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how are you guys involved here at Northview?
We both help out with high school youth every Thursday night, and I also attend the ladies' Bible study, and Andrew is here 20 hours a week doing the logistics of the high school night. So, mm-hmm.
And he was an intern last year.
He was, yeah.
So we got to hang out with him last year, too.
Mm-hmm. And I think you said this is your fourth married Christmas.
Fourth married Christmas,
and how many did you do dating and engaged?
We did 2 dating and none engaged.
Okay.
So, yeah, and our one of our dating Christmases, we were in Poland with a missionary family, so that was a different experience in and of itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's neat. Okay, sitting beside her is Chris. Chris, tell us about yourself.
I'm Chris. I'm a full-time student at U of V. I am married to Jamie Gorley, and we've been married for 6 months.
Nice. So your first married Christmas, did you have any engaged or dating Christmases?
We had 3 dating Christmases and 1 engaged Christmas.
Okay. And I know you're involved here at Northview too. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we both teach Sunday school. We do the grade 2s at the 11:15 service.
Okay.
And then we're also involved in the high school youth. We do for grade 12 leaders there.
Okay. That's neat.
So, and I go to the Monday night Bible study too.
Yeah, I think this whole table does,
except for Jody.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and Kathleen's sitting over here to my left. She's doing all our tech work. Kathleen, say hi.
Hey.
She's at the Monday night Bible study, too. Okay, Jody, your turn. Tell us who you are.
I'm Jody Crocker. I'm married to Matt. We've been married for almost a year. I work full-time here at the church, and Matt's a full-time student at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 1 dating Christmas, 1 engaged, and this will be our first married Christmas. So.
Right. Nice. Yeah. And how are you involved here at Northview?
Well, obviously I work here, and both of us do Vertical Edge every Tuesday night.
Okay.
And then Matt also teaches Higher Ground on the weekends, which is the middle school discipleship class. So
yeah. And Vertical Edge is the grade 7-8 middle school program.
Yeah.
With Dan Sparrow.
Yeah.
We've had your kids, so.
Oh, no. Tell us the stories off air.
Crystal, how long have you been married?
It'll be, 24 years now. Yeah, 25 years this summer.
Wow.
So,
and I've been married 22. Okay, so let's talk about expectations, especially as they relate to the Christmas season. So there's a lot of expectations when it comes to Christmas. And let's talk a little bit just in general. So we know what kids expect. What do kids expect?
Santa and presents.
For sure. What else do they expect?
Family outings.
Mm-hmm.
They expect to go skating and skiing and kind of whatever they've grown up with, I think.
Yeah, pictures with Santa.
Time off school.
Yeah.
They're already expecting that.
Yes.
They're already checking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, the presents are a big deal.
Yeah.
As a kid, that was the most anticipated thing, wondering what was going to be under that tree. And the family gatherings, too, as a kid. Looking forward to being together with all my cousins. We had a whole raft of them, so that was always fun.
Yeah, getting spoiled, staying up late.
And dad being off work for a longer period of time.
Yeah.
So that was always fun.
Yeah.
Okay, what about teenagers? You all work with teenagers. What do teenagers expect that's different than kids?
Well, the sleeping in is a bigger thing.
Yeah.
Time off school is still
a big deal. Time off school is still a big thing, but it's the sleep till noon.
And presents, still a big deal.
Snow.
Yeah.
Photo-worthy moments. Instagram-worthy.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Selfies.
Yeah.
More choice over their presents, I think, as they get older, right? They either want money or gift cards, or they don't quite trust us to choose the gifts anymore.
True.
Yeah. Might not have the right fashion sense.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, Crystal, what about moms? What do we expect at Christmas?
Well, we want our family to all get along.
Yeah.
We want it to all be peaceful and happy and, to have good memories made, I think, with people.
Yeah.
There's always the expectations of, being in charge of the food and baking and that kind of thing. So that's something to manage. I had one neighbor who would just get so flustered about it all the time and be rolling her eyes. And I said, well, you don't have to do it all. You can decide what you want to do. But we kind of gather from around us what we need to do and feel this pressure, I think, sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, there's a big change because when your kids and teenagers, Christmas is done for you. But when you're a mom, you have to make Christmas happen. We have to shop. We have to bake. We have to get the groceries. We have to decorate. Like, it kind of becomes a bit of a drag sometimes.
Yeah.
So I know that I always have to kind of coach myself. Got to go, okay, it'll be good. I can do it. Help me. Yeah. Yeah. Now, what happens if our expectations aren't met? We have all these great plans for Christmas. We have ideas about presents and outings and family gatherings. What happens if they're not met?
I think you're incredibly disappointed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it can really reflect upon people and, yeah.
Yeah, it can definitely be a strain on relationships for sure if we're not meeting each other's expectations or something doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of disappointed and hurt feelings for sure.
Yeah, a lot of arguments and tension.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then it can build up for the next year and the next year and the next year, right? Like, it's because it only happens maybe once a year, then you kind of maybe shelve it for a while, but it's still in the back of your head. And if you don't deal with it that year, then the next year comes and right away you're already edgier even before it starts because you don't want that same thing to happen again. Or
What we find here at church, and when I used to work at mental health, is that people had all these big expectations about the Christmas season. So more than just Christmas Day, it was like the whole month of December and into November. And then it's not met, and then we would have floods of phone calls and meetings because people are upset about what has happened. And so they're sad, they're angry, they want to come talk to a counselor. Some of them get really even depressed, and it can get worse than that. So I think it's really important that we talk about expectations so that we're kind of prepared going into the Christmas season, and we kind of know, okay, this is what to plan for. This is how to make it a little bit so there's less stress, less sadness, less tension, all that kind of thing, which is why we're talking today. But we're going to give it a little bit more of a fun twist because we are talking with newlyweds. Because they're young. First few Christmases, always very exciting. But it's also, I think, for our listeners, it's also a bit of a vulnerable stage because you guys are trying to blend two families and you're trying to make it work in a new family unit. And sometimes your parents or your parents-in-law don't quite understand and they want your time and attention too. So we're going to talk about these things. Okay, so first question, easy question. Live tree or fake tree? And does it really matter?
We have a live tree, so it matters to us.
Chris is very passionate.
I'm very passionate about my live tree. Yeah, although I would get really sad when I was younger that it would die. Then at the end of the season, that kind of always was a conflicting thing to me. But
yeah.
But that whole experience of going out and chopping it down and arguing with my brother over which tree, and having the hot chocolate and the popcorn, and that was all part of the deal. So
big deal for you.
It was, yeah, and it still is. Our kids, it's just an experience for us.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Who else?
We have a fig tree, but we prefer a live one, but we leave every Christmas holiday, so we don't want to come back to a pile of needles on our carpet. So
yeah,
that's
right practical. Now we just make Christmas scents and are happy with our fake one.
Okay.
We love a real tree, but we can't have one for our apartment, so we're settled with a fake tree. But I'm looking for a candle that smells like a Christmas tree, so I can still sort of experience what Crystal gets to experience all the time.
See, I grew up with a live tree always, very important to my parents. And then a few years ago, I totally decided I would have the courage to say, no more live tree. I don't want spiders and needles and chomping at the end. I want a fake tree. My parents every year still will phone me. So, can we go and get you a tree?
They're upset about this.
Yeah.
And what are your kids? Did your kids not mind?
No, my kids don't mind either way. They don't care.
My kids would just have a conniption if we changed traditions now.
My parents do. They're like, why do you have a fake tree? I'm like, because I like it better. So every year we do the same argument.
That's so funny that they want to get it for you.
I know, they do.
Yeah. Can we help you out, Thalia?
I know, every year, seriously, I get the phone call.
That's pretty funny.
No, we'll just take it out of the box. Thank you very much. No spiders, no needles.
Our current tree is, I think, 4 feet tall, so we stick it on a table so it looks taller.
The little skirting underneath it?
Yeah, not as bad as the Charlie Brown tree, but definitely short still.
That's funny.
Okay, space Chris. Efficient. Sorry, Jasmine, cut you off there. Chris, when do you start decorating for Christmas, and how big a deal is this to you?
I would love to start decorating after December 18, because December 18 is my birthday, and it's a very big deal. So Christmas
remember
and my birthday
remember that,
to
listener, December 18, gifts to Chris.
Yes, yeah. I will be at the church, because it's Thursday night Christmas banquet, so.
Well, I wonder how many of our listeners, though, have kids that are born in the Christmas season. Yeah. And I wonder if it's a big deal that they separate the birthday from the Christmas, and how you work it with decorations. Like, that might be interesting to find out.
I was born on the 24th of December,
And
my mom always made it very clear that gifts were not to be combined.
Okay.
But I think part of that was because my dad was a pastor, so he was always gone Christmas Eve. The whole afternoon, the whole evening. So it was a very big deal to, like, we never opened Christmas presents on Christmas Eve. Like, my siblings never got to do that. We had all the decorations up. I always thought they were for me when I was younger. Decorating for my birthday. So honored. But, yeah, I think the hardest part was just having my dad gone in the evening.
Oh,
but she always, we always did a party like a month beforehand.
Oh, okay.
To separate it a little bit. And people weren't available anymore.
Yeah,
no.
Come Christmas Eve. They're all doing their own family things. But, it definitely is a challenge for sure.
That's neat. Okay, so.
So, hey, does it wait? Do you wait then until the 18th, or what is
No, we already have our decorations up.
Okay.
Because my husband likes them, so, you know, we have to.
When do yours go up, Jasmine?
Oh, mine go up on November the 25th or any earlier if I can convince Andrew to let me set them up earlier.
You said earlier,
as long as we have eggnog. Yeah. Eggnog's in the store and he can have a cup. That's part of his family tradition. So if he can have a cup of eggnog, he's happy.
Well, that's neat.
He makes me an eggnog latte because I don't like it cold.
Yeah.
And then we set it up together and, it's lots of fun. Watch a Christmas movie or something. But
well, and you said you wanted to set it up like a month earlier before you leave.
Yeah, because otherwise we leave and then when we come back, we take it down. So it's, we like to enjoy our tree for a little while and plug the lights in the morning and it's cozy. And
Yeah,
so we usually set it up about a month before we have to go.
Cool. Okay, Jody, I have a question for you. You said that you had experienced some Christmases as dating and then one engaged. Mm-hmm. So what kind of advantage is this for couples?
I think having a Christmas together while you're engaged is an advantage because you go from not really being part of the family technically, and then you get kind of a transition year when they accept you as part of the family, and then you're married. So it's kind of a nice like introduction to what Christmases are going to look like when you're married and kind of what to expect from both sets of parents as it becomes more official. And I think it's beneficial, but it's not like you have to plan your engagement around Christmas. It just happened for us.
Yeah. Might be an advantage for families who have been quite close, you had said.
Yeah. Like my husband's family, they are a very small family and no one's really entered the family until me for the last like 20 years. So it was nice to have that year of just me transitioning into a small unit that really worked well together.
Yeah.
So that was helpful for us.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay, next question. Let's see, where are we at? Okay, which Christmas tradition or traditions from your family growing up do you really need to keep? Or maybe it doesn't even matter that much now.
I feel like traditions would matter more when we have kids, because that's what a lot of my fond memories and traditions are based off of when I was younger.
Yeah.
So for now, I don't really have anything. I'll just go along with my family with things.
What kind of things do you remember from being a kid that were important to you?
We did stockings for an entire week before Christmas.
Oh.
Ah.
So it'd be little, like no more than about $10 worth of stuff, but it'd be treats and cookies and whatever. And it would keep us quiet in the morning while my parents slept. So it was like a win-win all around.
Yeah.
We always did the drive around and look at Christmas lights.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to do that when we have kids one day, but when we're just married, we kind of just see them as we drive places.
Yeah.
That's good enough.
That's true.
Yeah, I think for us it was always just a good family time. Very family-oriented, lots of family activities. We just both spent Christmas Day at home doing puzzles in your pajamas, watching movies, eating food. We did drive around and see the lights. But I think one thing that Andrew and I both found important is when we opened a gift, we did one gift at a time.
That was the big thing I wrote down, too. Some families do enjoy
other people opening the gift that you made for
them. Chris is shaking her head.
It's a terrible idea. I can't wait that long.
So what do y'all do? Just go
It becomes like it's a free-for-all, man. Look at it, and then go around and look at everybody else.
So what's going to be interesting is, I don't know about your husbands, but what if they have a totally different way of doing presents?
That would be hard, but it's the same. But that would
you guys
be hard.
Do the take turns?
I
too?
Would make presents last all day if I could.
Yeah, like, if I have like coffee a break.
Yeah, break. If I have like a 3-part gift for someone, I'll wrap it like in 3 separate things, and they have to open one at a time. Like,
could you order them so that they know which one to do first? Second,
third? Sometimes, yeah. It's my parents always did that too. Yeah. Yeah, you get the bike and then the bike helmet and blah blah blah.
You want to get the bike helmet first?
Yeah.
Now, Chris, what about you? What about Jamie?
His family has always done one at a time. Yeah. It takes forever, and it's so boring. I don't care what you got. So, I just love opening all the presents right away. So, this is going to be interesting.
Wow. We're going to have some arguments around that.
That's funny. Yep. Okay, so, a little bit more of a serious question. How will you decide which family to visit on which day? Or maybe you've already figured this out. Who's going to go first? Was it Jasmine? I think so.
Yeah, well, we always went to the island, and both of our families are on the island, so they're on different ends, so we'd always stay for one week with each family, and we just alternate which family got Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
But both families were pretty flexible, so it was normally pretty good. So, yeah, we really enjoy it. It's really working out well for us, and yeah,
you're trying to even the time.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, trying to make it as even as we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, for us, Matt's family is quite traditional in each of their holidays. Like, okay. Each day has kind of a set order of events that happens, which we really appreciate because then we know for every holiday kind of what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
And we can kind of plan around that, which is really nice. And then my family, we've always kind of gone on holidays or done things on different days, and we don't have a lot of close family around. So we kind of just would do whatever, which we also mm-hmm. appreciate because that works well around a traditional schedule. So both families have been quite accommodating, and it's been quite easy for us.
That's neat.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
We had one family away and one family here, so that makes it a bit challenging. Bob's whole family is in Saskatoon. And so for the first probably 10 years, we alternated back and forth going to Saskatoon and back. But then by the time we had 3 kids... And they weren't free anymore. Like, you know, you have those couple years where kids are free. And when we didn't have kids, we would drive. But we just got scared to think of driving in the middle of the prairies with babies and what happens if you break down. And so then we stopped going at Christmas. And so that's been a little hard for his family specifically. Because we go every summer, but they just wish we'd be there sometimes at Christmas. So we were going to go this Christmas, but then his niece ended up getting married in summer, so then we went then, and so then we thought, well, twice in a year is a bit much, but it's kind of hard when you have the one family away.
So a question for you then, Crystal, and maybe other people can chime in, but if a family has to fly to go visit extended family, who should pay?
Well, Bob's parents have once in a while, but generally we've picked up the costs, so that's been a little bit of a point of frustration too. Not that his parents would have to, but we said, you know, as a family, why don't you all chip in? If you want us there, we're happy to have you chip in,
because it's a huge cost.
It's a $2,000 bill by the time you fly 5 of us there,
plus
even
presents
more.
And
even when we drive in summertime, it's a good $600 worth of gas.
Yeah,
so it's been a bit of a point of
contention. That's what we're talking about, expectations.
Because we don't mind going, but it's always a big bill. I know with you going to the island, Jasmine, that's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right? The ferry is not cheap.
No, our parents have been awesome, though. Like, my parents typically help us pay for the way back, or if we're going with them, they'll pay for the car behind them. So it's always a nice surprise. Yeah. It's never an expectation that they pay.
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
more than happy to pay to go visit them. And we're staying at their house for a week each, so they're, you know, helping us out in other ways with food and, you know, lodging and stuff.
Yeah.
So, but they're always more than happy to help us out and... in that kind of way too. So that's definitely really nice, because it does start to add up on top of everything else to have to get yourself there.
I think a big thing for parents and young couples too is just choose not to be offended.
Yeah.
You know, like, your family, they love you. They know that you want to see them, but sometimes with finances or schedules, like, you just can't. And I think a big thing is just choose not to let it bother you.
Yeah.
You know? And just assume that they have the best intentions.
That's good. And talk about it in advance. Start talking about it in the fall.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Who's going to pay for what? How are we going to make this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you often go in summer, Crystal.
Well, we go every summer because to make up for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We, at least in summer, we can drive.
Mm-hmm.
So at least we're there for a week or so every summer. And sometimes more often, but it's easier to do it then.
Okay, what about with this question? For Christmas dinners, is it important that it's family only? Or is it family and whoever else? Well, I can start. I'll,
in my family growing up, it was only the five of us. So my mom and dad always invited all kinds of people who didn't have somewhere else to go. So it could be a widower down the road or someone from church who didn't have a place to go. We always had people. It was an expectation that we just had strangers, if you want to call it that, at our table, because we didn't necessarily know them very well. They just needed a place. But Mark's family had both of his extended families here in the Lower Mainland. And so the expectation was it's family only. You don't have extra people who might need a place because it was already full with family. So that when we came into our marriage, it's kind of like, well, what is Christmas then? Is it extra people or is it family only? That's been
so
kinda,
what have you done?
Mostly family only, because we have my family plus Mark's family and extended families.
That's just too many to add.
Yeah, unless we would start adding it more like the 21st and having extra people around. But I miss that. That's actually kind of sad. I miss having extra people around. Yeah. Maybe one day. What about the rest of you?
Jamie and I were the first in both of our families to start dating. So our parents, maybe they just didn't know what to do, but they were really gracious, and both of them accepted us right away. So Jamie came to all the Christmases, I came to his, and it was great. But now that some of my other siblings are starting to date, I'm a little bit more hesitant because I like it being just family.
Yeah.
So my parents are super great accepting everybody, but for me it's a little bit harder to accept friends.
So you're running into a little bit of your own selfishness.
Yeah. I like it being just family.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and you have a bigger family, so you want to spend time with them. We can totally get that.
Yeah, and yeah. My brother comes up from Vancouver, and we don't get to see him very often. Mm-hmm. So it's really special to have him there. So I like it just family.
I know. And I was thinking, too, for some of our listeners, some of you listening might have kids or grandkids that have a common law partner. You know, there's a lot of people that are living together now. And so what do you do with that? Are they family and included? Are they not family and excluded? I was meeting with one mom, older mom, dealing with this with her children, and we were encouraging her, or I was encouraging her, to be a generous, inclusive family. Mm-hmm. Like to bring in this common law partner. It doesn't matter if it's 2 months or 2 years or 20 years, like just bring them in and let's be family. Mm-hmm. But that's a little bit harder for people to negotiate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a big advocate of inviting girlfriends and boyfriends to things just because even if it's a new relationship, the relationship could work out and they could get married one day. And I think it's just not worth it for that person to hold on to bitterness and hurt feelings from their new in-laws from years ago. And even if the relationship doesn't work out, like obviously the family will miss that person, but I think it's still worth it for the family to be welcoming, because you never know with every relationship, right? So
well, you never know about widowed parents or homestay students or everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I think it's worth it, like you said, to include people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
our family, both sides, have always had, not that it's a rule, but just whoever's around has been invited. There's been people from Lithuania, because my parents have been involved out there. There's been, like you said, homestay students, and Bob's family has had, you know, a lot, different varieties of live-in boyfriends, girlfriends, all those kind of things, and his parents have been amazingly awesome at being really welcoming and loving and caring. So,
yeah,
I've seen it modeled on all sides.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Okay, Jasmine, this question was for you. Which parts of the Christmas season have caused the most challenging discussions in your house?
I think definitely for the first couple of years of marriage, it was a struggle to figure out when to leave one family's house to go to the next one, because one of us was really excited to see their family and the other one was really sad to part with theirs.
Yeah.
So I think that was definitely a challenge for the first little while. I think we've got it more figured out now, and I think we both feel a lot, you know, just more at home with either side, so it doesn't matter as much. And I think also the money, just being newlyweds and, you know, having a lot more things to deal with financially and just having different expectations for gift buying. Some families draw names, and for some families you draw, you know, you pay for a gift for everyone. So I think even the strain on the expense and then travel and then just all adds up to be a very financially taxing time. But I think those are definitely some of the challenges that we kind of had to overcome and talk about is, you know, as we experience Christmas as a newlywed couple. So
let's pause on that one, that gift one. I think that's a big deal.
It is.
Do we exchange names, or you buy for one person? Do you buy for everybody? And how do we make that work now? What are some of your thoughts on that?
We buy for everyone in both our families, kind of do the same. I think a nice expectation that our families have kind of adopted is you kind of just buy whatever you can afford, you know, like I might spend $100 on someone and they might spend $15 on me, but it's what we can afford and it's still like a gift that's appreciated, you know? So like for us this year, we have to set kind of a smaller budget, but our hope is that our families will still appreciate that we did something.
You know? Okay.
So, yeah, it's kind of,
because some families are a little bit more like, okay, it has to be a $15 or $20 or $50 gift budget limit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've always had a budget. So whether we're drawing names or whether we're buying for everyone, there's always a kind of like a top line.
Yeah.
So don't go crazy.
Yeah, don't
over
go
this.
Over the top line, but kind of make it up to the top line if you can, so that everyone's kind of, you know, feeling like they're.
I knew one family that had to show receipts, actually. To show that they had spent. That one I thought was...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
too
much.
I know.
I think that's a nice thing about being this age, too, is we all have siblings that are students and, you know, sometimes struggling financially, too. So it's helpful when everyone's kind of in the same boat.
Yeah.
We've done it different ways some years, too. Like last year, my mom had a hip replacement surgery, so she wasn't going to go shopping. And so she said, well, let's just pool some money and we'll go somewhere as a family. And I know some of you have said that that experience too. So I think different years we've said, well, let's do something instead of buying each other gifts. Yeah. And then other years when we're just hanging around and we want to buy fun little things for everybody, we do. So I think it depends on the year too and what your family likes to do.
Yeah, I think that's important too, to talk about it every year. That doesn't have to be set in stone. It can change.
Yeah.
What other challenging discussions? Any other? That was pretty good. Okay. Christmas dinners. Who makes the food? Is it always mom, or do we take turns making the meal or hosting it at our houses? What are your thoughts on that?
Mom's the host because it works the best. She's the biggest home, central. A couple kids still live at home.
Okay.
So mom's always the host, but we've always helped out, like, all afternoon making food or whatever.
Okay.
So mom plans it all, and we all help.
Yeah.
And we all eat.
Yeah, yeah.
So it works well.
Yeah, for us, we always pitch into whether it's doing an appy night and everyone brings an appy, or being responsible for a certain aspect of the Christmas dinner just to help kind of lessen the load of on mom or mom-in-law. And everyone works hard and everyone appreciates the dinner. So
yeah. I had this comment from someone. It says, I love making dinner for everyone, but it gets expensive to host everything. I'm happy to host. I love the actual process of hosting, but how do I get people to contribute when they don't cook or bring dishes? I've tried asking everyone to contribute a donation if they can, but they forget. What would you guys say?
I think sometimes when you're young and married, you're just kind of ignorant to that part of things, you know, especially for us. Most of our siblings, actually all our siblings right now, are living at home, so we kind of just lump ourselves in with them and, you know, mom's going to cook kind of thing. And I think it's just important for us to take responsibility over the years in helping out, because we are kind of our own unit and we're guests now in their house.
Yeah.
And I think we just have to be conscious as young marrieds that we can't always be provided for.
You know,
it's good to help out
that's
too.
A good point. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I've had to say some uncomfortable things up in the office where one older mom was wondering about how to do this. She's doing all the work because, you know, moms are often the better cooks and they can provide great food and they have the homes and that kind of thing. But she's getting tired and would love some help. So she started asking kids and kids-in-law to bring food, but they would forget or not or...
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah. And so I said, let's see what you guys say. I said to her, well, you know, often as hosts, we have to make it clear what we'll provide. So in Mark's family, what we'll do is the host provides coffee, tea, water, the meat, in this case, turkey, gravy, and potatoes. That's it.
Everyone that's hosting,
that's the meat, the potatoes, and the coffee, tea, water. And then everybody else is responsible for bringing something else, and we sign up in advance. And if you forget it, like if I'm responsible to bring the salad and I forget it, the host does not go in their fridge and their pantry and rustle up and try to find something. It's we don't have a salad. And then the pressure is on, like, hey, Thalia, you didn't bring your salad.
Yeah. Right.
So, but the host often will, you know, try to go and figure it out and fix it up. But that doesn't teach the people who are coming to actually do their part of the responsibility.
Yeah.
So that's kind of sometimes an uncomfortable position, is to actually draw those boundaries and say, this is what I'll provide. If you don't bring it, we don't have it.
Yeah.
I think that's fair enough, though.
Yeah.
I think it's like anything. If you say it early enough and you're clear with what you're saying, you're not being some passive-aggressive communicator, then I think that's fine, right?
Yeah.
And if the food is less, then it's just less. And next time, they'll maybe remember.
Yeah. But it's hard for moms to put those boundaries in place.
Yeah.
This year, we drew all of the, like, side dishes out of a hat.
Oh, so that's interesting.
We each drew something. Yeah, drew something. I think we've been doing that for, like, Christmas Eve. Like, to take the pressure off of the meals before, even.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
The festivities start before Christmas.
They do. Totally.
So we picked a country, and then we picked either Appy, Maine, or dessert, and we were going to have to make a whatever country.
Very creative.
That's creative.
For that country. Cool. So, yeah, but that's always a fun way, mm-hmm. and then you kind of remember, because, yeah, you picked it, so you have to bring it. But.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think we, as moms, we need to allow our kids to take responsibility and yeah, not assume that we have to keep doing it. So I think the more we can teach that, the better.
Yeah.
And I think it's okay to ask.
I think so too.
Like, don't be afraid to pass off responsibility.
Yeah.
Because I think, like I said, like, we just won't clue into that necessarily if we're kind of the first married couple in the family. I think it's important for moms to just ask.
Yeah. Okay, I have a couple of questions here, more aimed towards the parents. So what can parents of newlyweds do to help make the first Christmas seasons easier? What would you guys say to that? Not necessarily speaking to your own parents, but parents in general. What can they do to make it easier?
I would say flexibility is huge. Yeah. Being newlywed, there's a lot to figure out, and Christmas is just one of the many things you're figuring out. And just to really be flexible with dates and times and gifts and all of that stuff that just kind of surrounds the Christmas season, and just, yeah, don't expect them to be there, you know, every time that you want them to be there.
Yeah.
Most newlyweds are trying their best to make it as many places as they can because they want to be there, and we want to be involved too. So, yeah.
Chris, you were saying something about that before, about the trees and that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. So my parents have always done trees, and we all get together and decorate them and all these things, and it always worked really well. And as we were a dating couple, we'd go back and forth between homes and participate in these traditions. But now that we're married, we want to have our own traditions.
Yeah.
So if we get invited to do their trees, we don't really want to. We want to stay home and do our own tree. And, you know, we don't want to go somewhere for Christmas breakfast. We want to have our own Christmas breakfast.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's going to be an interesting balance between, yes, invite us over, but don't be offended if we don't want to be there for 4 straight days.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
I think that's a key thing. And I think Jody had said that earlier before about not being offended, choosing to be cheerful in it and not take offense.
I think something parents can do too, especially if your, let's say, your daughter and her husband haven't been together for years upon years, is to treat him like an individual, like when you're buying gifts, to get him a gift that is personalized, you know, like you've observed who he is and gotten him something, rather than getting your daughter an appliance and lumping him into that, you know. Like, I think that's important to make the person feel included in the family, is to kind of separate them as an individual new son of yours. And my parents are good at that. I'm not trying to
say. No, my parents, I know they won't listen to the podcast, but one of our first Christmases, they had bought, my mom loves pottery, so she had bought us a pottery tea set and all the mugs that went with it and all of the fixings for tea and hot apple cider. And my poor husband opened the box and he was like, "Pottery, great, thank you." So since then, they've gotten to know him more, and it helped a little bit. Okay, how do you think newlyweds, you guys, can help your parents adjust to having a new family member? And again, not just you guys, but all your newlywed friends, how can you help your parents? Us oldie-weds.
I would think just get involved in the family activities that are going on, like make yourselves available to do puzzles or to, you know, go for a walk or go for a car ride when you're offered, and just just do lots of things as a family, not too many things on your own. Even though it's a novelty to be married and have it be a holiday, there's the own stuff that goes along with that, and just the excitement of just being the two of you and experiencing holidays, but also to be involved with your family and to appreciate the fact that they want to spend time with you too. And just really get yourself involved. I think
it's making your in-laws know that you want to be part of their family too. Mm-hmm. Like that you aren't just pulling for your own family traditions, but you're wanting to join in with your husband's family or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they want to feel like you're interested in them.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember that being a big thing for me, especially because they were far away, making sure that they knew that I did want to be there and be part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, like you even said with the gifts, like just being, you know, having your other, you know, spouse in the relationship or whatever, if it's their first time, just kind of familiarizing them with your family and, you know, their likes or dislikes and making their gift a little more specific oriented rather than just like a, oh, here you go. Pulling them in and even sharing traditions I find is always helpful. So they kind of know the ropes of how each family handles their thing. Yeah. I guess that's how we make each other feel more comfortable with each other's families and learning our traditions or funny things that have happened. But
that's neat. Well, that's about it for today. But listeners, if you have more questions about expectations or newlyweds or oldieweds, feel free to email us. What is the email address, Crystal, that they reach us at?
Bonus@northview.org or women@northview.org.
Okay.
Probably the easiest one. Yeah, women's easiest to remember.
Okay.
So
would you mind praying for us, Crystal?
No.
As we wrap up?
I'm happy to do that. Lord, I thank you for all these newlyweds around the table. Lord, I thank you for the families that they represent, the families of their heritage and the families that they are now involved with as they're starting off life together with new husbands and planning for the future. Lord, I pray your blessing upon each of them. I pray, Lord, that as they walk through this Christmas season, Lord, that they would sense your presence in all of it, and that they would not get too busy with all the expectations, Lord, to miss the wonder of your birth and to live their lives in accordance with your will and your priorities for all of us. Lord, I pray for people around our church as they meet together over the holiday season. Lord, I pray that they would be filled with love and with joy and with kindness for each other, with compassion for each other, Lord. I pray that all that you came to this earth to accomplish through your birth, your death, your resurrection, Lord, would be part of the way we experience these celebrations, that we would be changed by the gospel so that we interact with people in a way that reflects you and your message. I pray for the Christmas things that are happening here at Northview and for the Christmas production and the Christmas Eve services and for all the people that will be walking in these doors to celebrate your birth. Lord, I pray that they will be impacted by your gospel message and that many will come to know you in a new way. And we thank you, Lord, for this time that we've had together to talk and to listen and to learn from each other, Lord. And we just pray that if there are people who need to discuss these things further, Lord, that you would just bring them to speak with us. So that we could help them walk through these situations. So thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, for this evening we could spend together, and for just the joy of this season. Pray all these things in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Have a great Christmas, and we'll see you in a few weeks.